What a drag it is getting old.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday Hump Day Edition. We've got some fine guests joining us later. They include Matt Rothschild, Batman coming around in the 4 o'clock hour. And then we've got Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman. He's going to join us in the happy hour at 5:30. I believe our young, youthful friend, a Peter Pan at heart, Dominic's also joining us for the 5 o'clock hour, as has become the new custom. So looking forward to that. Want to get back to Jennifer Rubin, bring this piece to conclusion. Her statement, Zelensky settles a robust U.S. foreign policy debate. And here it is. America First is dead. America First is dead. And you know who killed it? It was Zelensky. Let me read from Rubin's piece. The administration and many lawmakers have opposed a no-fly zone as a dangerous escalation that would inevitably involve military conflict with Russia. Likewise, the administration has resisted pleas for military aircraft as both escalatory and unnecessary. Now, you may not know this, but Ukraine has more than 50 fighter jets. But air defense systems might bridge the gap, meeting Ukraine's needs without raising the risk of World War III. Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. Second, Zelensky's concluding appeal for the United States to end its reluctance to provide international leadership might have more impact than any domestic politician, think tank, or pundit could. More than me? Come on, Jennifer Rubin. You are the leader of the nation, of your great nation, quoting Zelensky. I wish you to be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader of peace, he said. And Rubin writes, with that, he demolished any notion that the United States can remain on the sidelines. Put differently, Ukraine is shaking Western democracies' conception of their nation's obligations to other democracies. Pardon me, Germany has now reversed its historical reluctance to spend big militarily and has set out to sever its dependence on Russian energy. As for U.S. foreign policy, the debate between internationalism and America First seems for now to have been definitively resolved in the favor of a robust American presence in the world. On defense spending, even one of the most progressive members of Congress, Rep. Pramila Jayapal, Democrat from Washington, she's on the squad. She now understands that reducing defense spending is out of the question. Here's her quote. We had thought the ending of the war in Afghanistan, we could push for a real reduction in the defense budget. There will be another opportunity, she told the New York Times this week. But look, this is an epic battle. Finally, according to Rubin, Zelensky raised an interesting proposal. In addition to requests for more sanctions against all Russian office holders, a new United Democratic Apparatus, United for Peace, or U24, to respond to attacks, natural disasters, and pandemics within 24 hours. Ironically, this association of countries for the common good sounds very much like the original concept of the United Nations. Zelensky's idea underscores the United Nations' glaring deficiency. The Security Council veto power exercised by precisely the aggressive autocracies, you know, Russia and China, we most need to restrain. The debate about the United States' role in international bodies has gone on for decades. Republicans have traditionally opposed them. You know, like the World Health Organization, the United Nations, they're not down. As Rubin writes, as impending U.S. sovereignty and providing public relations cover for despots. Now, even they will find it hard to quibble with the argument that a structure to deter and, when needed, deploy resources and arms is critical in a world where aggressive despots look to pick off smaller neighbors. You know, Fancy Brian, my older son, often worries that you're going to pick off Luke.
What?
Yeah, because you're the larger aggressor. You're the Russia in this analogy. Just saying.
Really? Okay.
He worries that, you know, Luke Zelensky are going to crush him like a bug.
I don't know that's an apt analogy, but okay.
Doesn't mean he doesn't worry about it. A little bit more here, and then we'll be at the end. In proposing an entirely new alliance, NATO but bigger, or the United Nations but with only democracies, Zelensky made a powerful argument that we need more effective international bodies. Republicans might ordinarily frown on such multi-unilateralism. Let me try that again. Multi-unilateralism. But as with Zelensky's odes to democracy and freedom, his words have more resonance with them than do Democrats. So in sum, President Biden's declaration last month that America is back was ignored or ridiculed by his critics. But in Ukraine, that statement has become reality, reflecting a critical commitment to protecting international order and other people's rights of self-determination. You know, unless you're a woman here in the United States, you want to, you know, have control over your own body's autonomy. That's a whole different thing. Here's the conclusion. Zelensky has turned out to be the most effective proponent of U.S. leadership based on democratic values. Makes a better case for democracy than we do sometimes. Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post. You can find it on our Facebook page. If you haven't liked us there, why not? At the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. And you can always be a part of this show, 844-967-2789. But while we wait for the liners to line up in the queue, let me ask you, Fancy Brian, you got that Trump supercut? We got a little supercut here. And the former president comes out and he's doing a lot of revisionist history, right? He's been prone to do that in this world.
Well, when his voters don't take him to account for anything he says, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Well, we're going to hold him to account to the truth, or at least to his own words. So I believe the fine folks over at MSNBC put this together. We're going to play it for you right here on Devil Radio, the Devil's Advocates, courtesy of them. But play it for the people, if you would. Here's the Trump supercut. Think of it as the now and then. Play it for the people, Fancy.
Nobody was ever tougher on Russia than me. I'm the one that stopped
That's
the pipeline.
Now.
I had it stopped. I'm the one that put all the sanctions on.
My people came to me. Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be.
As everyone understands, this horrific disaster would never have happened if our election was not rigged. And if I was the president.
You know, I was in Moscow a couple of months ago. I owned the Miss Universe pageant. And they treated me so great. Putin even sent me a present. Beautiful present with a beautiful note.
I stopped his pipeline. I sanctioned them more than anybody
That's
ever sanctioned them.
Now.
Putin called me a genius. Putin said Donald Trump is a genius.
Nobody was ever tougher on Russia.
But if the United States got along with Russia, wouldn't be so bad.
This would not have happened during my administration.
Putin's a killer.
Bill O'Reilly.
A lot of killers. We got a lot of killers. Why, you think our country's so innocent?
And in fact, some people were saying, why didn't this take place over the last 4 years during our administration? And it didn't for a very good reason, and I'll explain that to you someday.
I don't think Putin has any respect whatsoever for Clinton. I think he does respect me. And I hope I get along great with him.
Then. You remember. Then. When he was Putin's puppet. Then. Now he claims he's super tough on Putin. He'd be the stronger one. You know, it's too bad he's not the president. It weren't for that damn rigged election. Because this never would have happened under Trump. Or at least that's what he claims now. But the truth will set you free. That and calling the Devil's Advocates at 844-967-2789. We'll take your calls here. But Fancy Brian, well, we got a little break in the action. Little TV timeout. You got your brackets done, man?
Oh, no. I am going to be unconscious for the next 2 days, and then I will be recovering over the weekend.
Well,
I have no idea or concern that there is even basketball happening.
Sorry. You know, many years ago, I got the, what do you call that? I got the boy snipped. I got the vasectomy. You know, so evermore, you know, I haven't been producing live chitlins. But anyways, I asked the doctor, I'm like, is this a good time to do this? He's like, oh, no. He's like, the good time is during March Madness. He said, men will call in and they will schedule purposefully their recoveries around the March Madness tournament. So I guess that's not your plan, Fancy.
That's just sadness. I never, like, I love the World Series. I love baseball and everything. And when the Cubs were in the World Series, I made sure I was watching a game with my friends and things like that. But my goodness, just scheduling your vasectomy so you can have time off during the tournament. I have friends like that, and I'm like, you guys need something bigger or better in your lives. I'm sorry. You got to find something more important. And I love basketball, too. I was on three teams when I was growing up, but my goodness, guys.
Well, the bigger and better are my now teenage sons. They're bigger than me and probably better than me. So I wanted to, in the having of the children, so that was the motivation. But aligning it with the March Madness, man, that is the greatest sporting event in the history of mankind. And I don't care about your beloved Cubbies making it to the World Series. That is a seven-game series
and they won.
At the outside. Oh, they made it, and they won.
Was they it? Did, and they won. More recently than the Brewers did. 2016.
So, like, it's been, you know, we're working on 6 years, right? Something like that?
Yeah.
And then it was like 100 before that?
Yeah, but the Brewers, when they did...
Oh, the Braves have won the World Series in Milwaukee. Okay. So we do have a World Series championship.
But not the Brewers.
Not the current incarnation. We went to the World Series and lost to Joaquin Andujar and the St. Louis Cardinals. But now we got Andrew McCutchen coming on. But we're not talking baseball. Because baseball is a far inferior sport. I had a Brewers cap on this morning. Although I'm wearing my Packers hat. You know, we're still signing big free agents and such.
I'm sorry. That's an inferior sport, too. It's all inferior sport now.
To football?
No, to baseball. Baseball is my sport.
Oh, well, football is my favorite sport, but the greatest sporting event is March Madness, to my opinion, because it's all day, every day, man. They stagger the starts. They stagger the finishes. I mean, just in terms of the drama laying out, like, every 15 minutes, they got a, you know, a game coming down to a final shot, a three-pointer, a bank, something. Come on, man. Can't believe you don't like basketball.
I never said I didn't like basketball. I just said it wasn't my thing, and I wasn't going to schedule my vasectomy around it. That's all. I like the basketball tournament. I'm just not going to change my entire life to make sure I watch all of the games.
I just asked you if you did brackets. You acted like, well, I can't even do brackets.
Oh, I can't because I'm going to be unconscious for 2 days.
You could do the brackets before the procedure.
I don't care enough.
And then when you, yeah, see, you're
I just because I don't care enough doesn't mean that, oh, okay.
That is America's sport. Basketball is an American invention.
What?
We do it bigger. We do it better. We got the dream team. I mean, come on, man. It's the all-American sport, right? I know they say baseball and apple pie.
What I can tell you is it's besides boxing, it's one of the easiest sports to rig or cheat at. I can tell you that.
Basketball?
100%. Have you seen the – do you want me to bring up the Lakers and the Sacramento Kings again? Because I will.
I wasn't around the first time you did.
Oh, they pretty much the Lakers somehow magically got to the line 29 times in the fourth quarter, while the Sacramento Kings magically went to the line like four times. Kobe Bryant literally drove down the lane and elbowed Mike Bibby in the face, busting his nose, and they called the foul on Mike Bibby.
And what year was this game? Because Mike Bibby, I remember, like, Bibby in college in like the late 80s. Dude.
This is the Vlade Divac Sacramento Kings with Chris Webber.
Chris Webber.
Yeah.
Talk about players that were in the Fab Five.
Yeah. That's when he was in the NBA.
Tried to call a timeout in the Final Four. Carolina won that year. Now, I've got, just for the record, I've got Carolina going far, but my Final Four includes Gonzaga, Kentucky, Kansas, and Illinois. And I got Kentucky beating the Illinois Fighting Illini for the national championship, 83-79. Kentucky, number one at the end of this season. You got the Badgers going to the Elite Eight. You got Marquette losing in the first round because they're playing North Carolina. And it is the greatest sporting event ever. Just like you're listening to the greatest radio show ever. Hope you come back. There's more. Less sports, more politics.
You got to be honest about what it means to lead a country. It means killing people.